November 3rd is nearly here, and it's time for you to make an informed decision on local elections that matter. North Platte features five critical races for mayor and city council seats that will be decided soon, and you need information. Husker Radio and KODY are proud to present the 2020 KODY North Platte Candidate Debate, presented by North Platte Kubota and the D&N Event Center. Tonight's debate will be recorded and uploaded afterwards for playback on HuskerRadio.com. Now, it's time for the debate. Here's your host, Husker Radio News Director, Tristan Weiner.
And welcome back inside the studios. It's KODY, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM, continuing our final evening here of the North Platte Candidate Debate. Glad to be along with you here with my good friend and colleague, George Lombia of the North Platte Bulletin. George,
hey,
good to see you. Glad to have you in the studio with us here once again for the final evening of our debates.
Glad we made it. I was a little bogged down a little bit earlier. I had some other obligations to do, but I'm here for the last hour, and I got two great candidates here, so I'm looking forward to it.
Very much appreciate your partnership, George. Appreciate you being along with us once again for this evening. I want to thank our sponsors for making our coverage possible this evening on KODY, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM. Our coverage has been presented by the North Platte Kubota and DNN Event Center. Thanks to Tallman Jewelers, the Do-It Center, and the North Platte Bulletin as well. George alluded to it just a minute ago. We have another two great candidates joining us in the KODY studios here once again. City Councilman Lawrence Ostendorf and Challenger Mark Woods as we dive into Ward Number 4. Councilman Ostendorf, thank you for the time. Mr. Woods, thank you as well.
Glad to be here.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you both.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you guys both for running. It takes a little gumption to do that. And so thanks for having the heart to do that. Okay. And, you know, I'm going to make a little editorial comment here. I'm enjoying these because of being a part of these because we're learning about each other, and it's kind of a social event. And these two candidates just left said we could probably be friends if we weren't competing for the same office.
I think they could probably still be friends.
But you make greater connections, I think, with people that really have a passion and a desire to make the town better.
Absolutely. So I agree.
It's a great thing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I will say, too, both of our candidates here in the studio were in the green room together having a conversation, shooting the breeze. Both of our candidates in Ward 1 were doing the same thing when I got here. They both beat me here last hour.
Oh, so. Did they?
Yep. Yeah. I got here about 15 tell, and they were both in there just shooting the breeze, talking about business. So it's great to see. Okay, we'll begin with our first question, and we will begin with you, Mark. If you don't mind, give us a brief background on yourself.
Okay. Well, I was born in Wichita, Kansas. Moved to Colorado when I was about 3, lived all over Denver growing up, and then when I was 26, I had just gotten married, had a kid, my daughter, and I didn't want to raise my kids in Denver. And the guy who taught me carpet laying called me up one day and said, hey, you want to move up here and work with me? I'll split it with you 50-50, which I thought was more than I was worth, so I said, sure, I'll give it a try. I'd been up here to visit him a couple times because he moved up here to work on the power plant.
Okay.
And he was a pipe fitter apprentice, but he went back to carpet mining real quick after that. So we worked together for a lot of years. Well, I moved up here, came up, and sent my wife up in our little Volkswagen with a case of oil because it leaked so bad, and we followed in a truck, got here, unloaded the truck, and had to go to Wyoming to work next morning. The Volkswagen never moved again. but then the economy went to heck about a month later, and we had to scramble around all over. We ended up working out of Cozad and Ogallala. We spent a lot of time on the road working, always struggling. Then we got back, and then we ended up opening the store, and over time I ended up buying out two partners, my partner, and then my ex-wife, and that was a struggle. But then I got it back up and running, and then I realized that I really didn't like running a store. I liked being out on the job, and my kids were just getting into high school, and all I ever did was work. And so I got rid of the store and just went back to installing, and so I could spend time with my kids and kind of slow down a little bit, but that didn't work out well. And then I got remarried, and I I got into the rental business too, so I had the full-time carpet business and basically kind of a full-time rental business, but and I'm about ready to retire from the carpet business, and that's kind of a general outline.
Kind of your life story, huh? Okay. Kind of the outline,
yeah.
How you came to be where you are now.
I left out three things, but.
Well, thank you, Mark.
That's
Lawrence,
interesting.
Let's go ahead and have you give a brief background on yourself, if you don't mind, sir.
Well, I came up here in 1956, I believe it was, yeah. And when I first came, I did a couple of little things, and then finally, later on, I went to work for the railroad. There's 30 years, just like that. Didn't take long to do it. And when I was there, I enjoyed that immensely, and I had to go from one end to the other. I wound up going to Little Rock, Arkansas. Then I came back here for, 6-7 years? Then I went down to Omaha. And their choice, mine, not mine. But I was pretty glad that I did it. And because of that, I enjoy a pension today.
I see.
Okay.
All right.
We thank you both for giving us the background and the insight into your personal lives. Mm-hmm. George, next question.
So out of all that, what experiences have you had that qualify you to be in the position on the city council and represent your ward?
Well, I've been in management or top level practically the whole time I've been out working. And so let me assure you that railroad will make you a manager.
Okay.
And so that's what I figured I was. So whenever I started this and decided that I would do this, I had been encouraged by a couple of fellows to make a run at it. First time I didn't do so good. The second time I won. Mm-hmm. And that scares you, you know, right then and there. Beware, buddy.
Oh, I know. I am. I'm not sure about
it. Anyway, long story short, that got over with. And then after I got back from Omaha, I had to have something to do. So I went to school. Took me a little bit, but I went to school and learned how to do real estate. And so I did that for quite a while. See, I started in 2001. And I still have a license, however, I don't use as much. I let Cindy Chesley do it most of that for me. And, another thing, I started taking care of people that were in a nursing home.
Oh.
And I wound up, and that was a lot of experience real fast. I still got 10 or 12 of them. Real fast, though.
Okay.
So you got to help other people. You've been through some management in the company, and you've sound like you've been scrapping and working your way all your life
to improve
things. Both of you sounds that way.
Yeah.
So, Mark, what do you think your experiences and qualifications that really qualify you for the city council?
Okay. Almost all of my working life, I've been self-employed. I've run my own businesses. I've run crews. You know, I have to go out and bid jobs. I go out and sell myself. You know, it was a struggle a lot of times. There just wasn't any work, and we didn't just, you know, you can't just sit around. I'm not the kind of guy that can go get welfare or food stamps or anything. I wasn't taught that way. So, you know, we went out and hustled, and that's what we did. Now, over time, I was involved with a parent-run Christian school. And, you know, we did everything. I was on the board. I served 2 terms as president. I did take myself out of that because I just didn't have the time to do it service. My business was, you know, taking so much time. It just wasn't fair. So I got out of that. I had some real management experience with kids. I always coached and refereed all my children's, you know, baseball and soccer games, which is quite a deal. And, you know, I've just had to learn, you know, I make a plan every morning, and usually within 10 minutes, it's shot. And you have to learn, you know, you don't have any time. You have to learn to reprioritize, figure out what has to be done, how it's going to be done, and get it done. And I've had to do that for, well, the last 40 years here and even before. And I, well, and actually I just realized this. I spent over a year negotiating a land sale with Colorado. It was the Open Space Council, the Breckenridge, the town of Breckenridge, and Summit County, which was really quite interesting because, you know, it was some land my dad left us kids, me and my three sisters, and you know, it was mining claims, and they wouldn't let you break them up. You had to sell it as a whole, but we wanted to keep some of it. Well, but if they wanted it for open space, which means they wouldn't develop it, so they could do it, but it was quite a process, and I learned quite a bit about dealing with city entities and stuff, so I've had some experience. I have a lot to learn. I mean, I know that. I'm the first to admit it, but I'll learn it if okay. I'm elected.
All right. Good answer.
Thank you both. Let's begin with you, Mark, on the next question. What originally motivated you to run for public office?
Well, I think I might have lost my mind. No. But it's not my thing. I've never been one to, you know, put myself out there. I just work for a living. But this town has been very good to me. I love this town. People in it are so friendly and good. And, you know, for 40 years I've worked, and I've been rewarded well, you know. So I just, you know, the town's in kind of a bind now, and I thought, well, you know, I know some stuff. Maybe I could help. And so I thought, well, this is one way I could do it. And plus, it's something I need to do. Like I said, it's not my thing, but, you know, you have to stretch yourself and learn some new things. And it's been fun because I do get to talk to a lot of people. One-on-one, I love talking to people. And I've gotten to meet a lot of constituents. I have learned a lot about people. So, yeah, that's what motivated me. I just thought maybe I could do something to help the town.
Okay. And Lawrence, same question to you. What originally motivated you to run for public office, and what motivated you to run for re-election?
Well, let's see. I decided I wanted to run for office, and that would be 2.5 terms ago. Okay? That didn't work out. I lost on that one. But the next one, I beat an incumbent out. And that is what kind of wet my whistle for it, you know. And then as time has gone on, I'm like you, Mark. I've learned a lot from that, a lot of things.
I know you have.
And then I've also been in different organizations that I've been involved in, like Habitat for Humanity. Let's see, what else do I have? Housing Authority, I was in that for 5 years. And then I was at, Sertoma Club. I forgot all about that. And then I've been to the Board of Realtors. I've been deeply involved in that for 10 years at least. At least. I've been the president, the vice president, secretary, treasurer, on the board. I've even served a couple of them twice.
Good. So you feel like those things have motivated you?
Oh, yes. You know, once you get started out, you just can't stop.
Okay.
You just can't stop.
All right. I just want to stop and say here that we need to describe the ward probably so everybody knows what area of town we're talking about that you represent.
Oh, okay.
Or would represent. And Ward 4 is, I would say, commonly known as the north side of the city.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
That's
most
part
of the ward.
Yes.
Okay.
There are some out west where I reside, and then also some of the downtown area.
Yeah, from Maple down to Poplar, it kind of jogs out to 5th. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so, but, yeah, almost
so it gets
all of it.
A slice of 5th Street, or downtown, the core downtown.
Yes, part of downtown is in our ward.
Yes, okay. Indeed. Yeah.
All right.
As far as 5th Street.
Yeah. There, yeah.
And then for there we have this, what is it they call it?
The canteen district?
Canteen
yeah,
district.
Yeah, part of that's in our ward.
Yeah.
And it's
so,
beautiful.
So now
it
we're
going
to stand there and go like this.
Yeah. It is. It's come out nice.
Yeah, absolutely it has.
All right. You want me to fire another one here?
Yes, sir.
If elected, what would you strive to accomplish? And whose turn is it?
Horses.
Yeah, I haven't had one yet, so might as well.
What would you strive to accomplish if you're elected?
Oh, I got to see us grow. But we are growing now so much. It's kind of hard to believe, but we are. And I want to see us more, to grow more, and that includes jobs. And a couple of things have been done lately. I haven't been involved with them other than to vote for them. But we're seeing this light industrial go into heavy industrial, which would lead to more.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the things that's pretty exciting.
That there's some real potential there, you think?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
So you want to see more of that.
Oh, yes.
If you get elected and you do whatever you could to foster it. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Mark, how would you, what do you strive, what do you want to strive for?
Well, I'm like everybody else. You look at the town. What we need now are more jobs. We've lost a lot of jobs recently. There's always progress. There's always people who just rise up, start their own business, work, and they get ahead, they employ more people, and we always need those people. They're the backbone. But like Lawrence said, that property they rezoned out there, there's rumors that, you know, there's pretty good possibility something's going to go in there. And then we have the rail part that they're working on so hard. And if we can get that so that we can start getting some manufacturing, assembly plants, different types of things in here. This is like, I've been in construction most of my life, and when you build something, you build it in order. Everything has to be done in an order. And we're trying to build a town. Now, the first thing we've got to have are jobs. That is where everybody's focus is. I mean, I know Lawrence agrees with me. Everybody does, because that's what we need, good-paying jobs. Right now, we kind of, I'd say it, but we kind of got a tourist economy. We build a lot of hotels, gas stations, restaurants, you know, fast food joint. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know, tourism is a part of any town. But we need to get better jobs, jobs that people can make a living on. You know, they don't have to work two or three jobs. So then they can afford a house.
Yep.
You know, and then after the jobs, then the housing. You know, if we get some of these plants and stuff that DEVCO and the chamber are pursuing, you know, there's a time lag, and you know it's coming, and you know there's going to be people coming, then you can build the houses. You know, and then we'll, the retail. I think one thing we should do is start annexing parts of the city. That will broaden our tax base. It will get some more population in here, because I keep hearing this 25,000, you know, magic number for retail, to get retail outlets in here. Well, that's a quick way we can boost our population. We've got to do everything we can, and anything that brings jobs is good. I think we need to get more out at the community college, in the trades. You know, one of the reasons it costs so much to build things is because we don't have enough tradespeople. And you can charge what you want, pretty much.
Supply and demand.
Yeah, you know, and you try to get a little job done, oh, forget it. You know, nobody will do them because there's just not enough people. So all these things go into it, and, you know, that's just it. And then, you know, then, I hate to say it, but lastly, probably what happens is then the stuff for the kids. But, you know, growing up as a kid, everybody says there's nothing to do here in North Platte. I grew up in the city. I grew up in Denver. And we were poor. Well, I thought we were poor, at least, but I found out later we weren't. But my parents acted like we were poor. You know, we always found something to do. You know, we wanted to play baseball. We went out in the field. We built our own baseball field. You know, we went down to a little pond and got crawdads and rode our bikes everywhere. We just, there was always something to do, and I never went anywhere. My parents never took us anywhere. So, you know, I know we need some things for kids. It would be nice to have roller rinks and that kind of stuff. And I don't know what kids do nowadays. They play way too many video games. I know that. They need to get out and do other things. Yeah. Pet peeve of mine. But, you know, that's it. It's a process, and we need, and jobs is always the one thing you're going for.
Okay.
And moving on to our next question here, we do have a commercial break coming up. I want to remind our listeners and our viewers on our KVY Facebook page that we did give each candidate tonight, as we have for every candidate, a list of topics that we plan to cover. But we did warn them. We were going to throw a couple of different questions at them, A, and B, they were just aware of the topics we would cover. They were not aware of the exact questions. So we'll begin with Mark here on one of the questions that's a little unscripted. What kind of music do you like to listen to, Mark?
Well, you know, my favorite is late 60s, early 70s rock. I've never been a big country fan, but I love Hank Williams. Mm-hmm. I like jazz. It's got to be lively. I don't like slow music that much. Growing up, my parents listened to the big bands, and I love those still. I mean, the talent in those groups was just amazing. You know, yeah, that's, you know, I'll listen to about anything except rap music. I don't care for
understandable
rap music.
Understandable.
But other than that, you know, I'm okay with about anything.
Okay. Okay. Lauren, same question to you. What kind of music do you enjoy listening to?
60s, 70s, and 80s.
All right.
That's that machine out there is glued to 60s right now.
Referring to your car stereo?
Well, actually, it's glued to the 50s, and then it'll go up, you know, about 10.
Increase gradually?
Every 10 years.
Okay.
But I listen to that all the time. You know, people will tell me, like, I didn't even know that, Mark, you had Bugs in the Morning until just recently. Because I was always listening to that music there.
Sure.
But now I know.
And we're glad you do. And it sounds like you both have some similar interests in the music realm.
Yeah.
So sounds like it.
Yeah.
We do need to step aside for a quick commercial break here on KODY's 2020 Candidate Debate. It's been presented by the North Platte Kubota and the DNN Event Center. A big thanks to Tallman Jewelers in downtown North Platte, the DeWitt Center in the 4th Ward, we might mention, and the North Platte Bulletin. We thank them as well for making our broadcast possible this evening on 1240 AM, 106.1 FM. We'll continue our candidate debate in Ward 4 right after this.
Attention tobacco users. Tobacco Road will only be selling to individuals 19 and over until September 30th. After that, state mandates the legal age be 21. Again, October 1st, you must be 21. Tobacco Road is much more than a tobacco store, though, and you'll now find CBD in flower, concentrates, and even pet treats, as well as the best selection of disposable vape devices and juices to choose from. Open 7 days a week, you never know what you'll find inside. So check it out for yourself today. Tobacco Road, 1521 East 4th, North Platte.
Christmas is not that far away, and while selections are at their best, Karen at Tallman Jewelers says she'll help you lay away for Christmas. Stop in at Tallman's for pre-holiday savings on diamond earrings and pendants, engagement sets, anniversary bands, and colored stones. If you have family heirloom jewelry that you want to give as a gift with a completely new look, give Karen time to work her magic by taking it to Tallman Jewelers today. Remember, Tallman's buys used karat gold. Tallman Jewelers on the bricks at 503 North Dewey in downtown North Platte.
Don't let that nagging sprain keep you out of the competition. If it's affecting your game, it probably is something that needs to be looked at. Let the professionals at Westfield Pharmacy help you with any sports-related injury, from knee, ankle, and wrist braces to ice packs for cold therapy. Soon, you'll be back in the game again, going for that win. Westfield Pharmacy, your sports-related injury headquarters. They're located in the Westfield Shopping Center, West A Street in North Platte.
When it's time to buy a new utility tractor, it's time to go big. It's time to go orange. It's time to go to North Platte Kubota. Now open at a new location, 1301 South Jeffers. Right now, all utility tractors are zero down and 0% APR for up to 60 months. Plus, 90 days, no payments. With a new Kubota utility tractor, you can lift, move, push, pull, and grade. Go big. Go orange. Go Kubota. Find yours at North Platte Kubota, your locally owned tractor dealer, now at 1301 South Jeffers.
When it's time for home improvements, it's time for the Do It Center. Great people, super service, that's the Do It Center tradition. We're here to support you with answers to make your home improvement projects a huge success. Our aisles are filled with high-performance products, backed by our huge warehouse and an unbeatable guarantee. When you need to get that home improvement job done right the first time, shop with folks you know. The Do It Center, employee-owned for over 20 years.
Lincoln County's outstanding news alternative is the North Platte Bulletin. For 17 years, the Bulletin has informed you of breaking news, courts, entertainment, state news, and sports from Lincoln County area, courtesy of an experienced staff that delivers unbiased and honest news coverage. Pick up a copy of the Bulletin in Lincoln County and surrounding towns. Subscribe or check out NorthPlatteBulletin.com. Annual subscriptions come at an affordable price. The Bulletin, your homegrown hometown newspaper.
How many times have you watched a home show and the first thing someone notices when they walk into a home is the beautiful floor? Don't let your floor ruin your home's first impression to someone. Select Carpet and Tile has just the right flooring to fit your lifestyle. Carpet, tile, hardwoods, and more. You can even get carpet remnants just the right size to warm up a dorm room floor. Select Carpet and Tile, 501 East Francis, North Platte. Select Carpet and Tile, opening your home's door to an amazing first impression.
Hunting season is upon us, and the Southernwood Sportsman's Cove has your ammo. What's that? You don't hunt? Well, then pick up an ice cold 30-pack or something a little stronger. They don't judge at the Sportsman's Cove. They just sell beer, bait, and booze. Sportsman's Cove, just off Highway 30 in Sutherland. The little store with a whole lot more. Get your gift sets and ammo at the Sportsman's Cove.
And welcome back on 1240 AM, 106.1 FM. We're broadcasting live here in downtown North Platte for our 2020 candidate debate. Appreciate all of our candidates that have come in the studio here. We've really been able to dive into the city issues quite a bit, so we appreciate everybody's participation and appreciate the partnerships we have in terms of local business presenting our coverage this evening. Primarily want to thank our locally owned and operated North Platte Kubota and the D&N Event Center. Okay, I believe it's your turn to answer first, Lawrence. We're going to dive into a little bit of a hard-hitting question here, and it's pretty timely also. Should the city of North Platte continue to give the West Central District Health Department authority in making decisions on social distancing and the size of gatherings that can be held within city limits?
I think we can't hardly wait till the first of the year to get rid of it. That's my thoughts.
Okay.
That's my thoughts. Nobody knew anything, you know. So we did it for 1 year, allowed the mayor to do that 1 year, and of course, it just didn't work. So at the end of the 1 year, we can redo that, and we're going to do it, I think.
And
I don't know that for sure.
Follow-up question for you then, Lawrence. What would you like to see done rather than that partnership with West Central?
I want to see... that we'll have all new people, but I want to see, like for you, for example, George, me, for example, maybe you, it's hard telling, but I want to see them have different people from different walks of life on that so that everybody has a chance to make their decision and to let it be known.
Okay. Thank you, Lawrence. Sure. Mark, same question to you. Should the city of North Platte continue to give the West Central District Health Department authority in making decisions on social distancing and the size of gatherings that can be withheld in city limits?
No. If I'd been on the council at that vote, I would have voted against giving them the authority to control this. I'm going to say some things about COVID. I come at this from a completely different angle, I guess, because I hear nobody say this. When this first, everybody says, well, we knew nothing about it. No, when it first came out, we knew two things. We knew that if you were older and you had underlying health conditions, you were at great risk. Mm-hmm. We also knew that children seemed to suffer very little from it. They were either asymptomatic, or they just weren't sure, but they didn't seem to get it as hard or anything. So what did we do? Well, on the East Coast, they took COVID patients and stuck them in nursing homes. And then we quarantined children. We took them out of school, away from their education. In my mind, they lost that last year. And educating our children is the most important thing we do in this country. If we had left the kids in school, protected the older people, and I also have a problem with that. My mother was is in a nursing home, and they locked her in her room. They locked everybody in their rooms to protect them. Well, the people that work there, they go out in society, and then they come in, and they visit every one of them. So if they have it, they're going to spread it to every one of them. So why couldn't they continue to congregate with the other people? My mom suffered horribly mentally. She had a stroke. You know, and this is America. I think it was unconstitutional to shut down our businesses. The government should have told us what was going on, and you do what you want with your business. If you want to stay open, you stay open. If you want to social distance, you social distance. If you want people to come in to wear masks, you tell them you got to wear a mask. If you want to close, you close. I work at Buffalo Bill Manor, and there's a lot of older people there, and they have conditions, health conditions. Now, I believe Americans have common sense. I got kicked out for 3 weeks when it first happened. Everybody did. Okay. Well, then we come back. Now, I was very careful. We took our temperature every day. If I felt anything, I did not go to work. I went and got tested. If my wife felt anything, I didn't go to work. We got tested. Eventually, I got COVID. Wasn't that bad for me. I mean, I know it was for some. But, you know, I just think the government overstepped their bounds completely in this. Now, I agree with Lawrence that there should be, all these people should be talked to. The council should make the decisions, but obviously, we should talk to West Central and get their viewpoint. We should have businessmen in there because this is killing our economy.
You're saying consult these individuals?
Yes, okay. Because if you're on the council, you need the information. Yes. But I think everybody there is smart enough to get the facts and make a good decision. Mm-hmm. They're all good men. I just didn't understand it.
And the fact of the matter is they're the elected officials. Too,
right.
So.
I mean, it's their responsibility. To me, it was kind of, you know, passing the buck. I know everybody was scared, and everybody still is. Not everybody, but
some people still
they're
are.
Still. I go out talking to people, and there's a lot of people who are just scared to death. And I don't understand this. This is completely different from anything we've ever done.
Right.
People got sick, and we quarantined everybody. We shut down everything. You know, mentally, it's taken a big toll. People, I think there's just as many deaths from other things. My wife was supposed to go in and get some elective surgery. Well, they canceled it.
Yes.
Right away, before anything even happened. Well, she had to live with this for like 3 or 4 months. And, you know, it kept getting worse. I mean, it wasn't life-threatening, but it was upsetting her, and she was worried, and she should have been. Well, she finally got it, and they said, you know, went to the hospital, and they said, yeah, we were being laid off because there was nothing to do. You know, we had some COVID patients, but it never got bad, but we couldn't do anything, so we lost all that.
All right, thank you, Mark. Lawrence, it looked like you had a statement that you wanted. Did you have a response, it looked like, for a minute?
Mark just pretty well hit it on the head there.
Okay.
We should have had an opportunity to be part of that. I said that earlier. Mm-hmm. We didn't have that, but till the first of the year,
yep.
We're stuck.
Yep.
And that's the way to look at it.
Who's ever on the council, can they not decide? I don't know. Can they not decide at any point to go, hey, wait a minute. No, we're rescinding this. Or does it have to go the full year?
It has to go the full year,
okay.
The way I understand it. It's at the end of 90 days before the end of the year, then decision has been to make then.
Okay, that's coming up pretty quick.
Yeah.
Well, January.
90 days notice or something.
Yes,
terminate
yes.
the agreement.
To put them on notice, yeah.
Okay. And we do
that makes
have
sense.
To, we do have to move on to our next question.
Yeah, that's the good answers there, spirited answers and definite answers. Okay, so let's swing back to jobs a little bit. And the city's going under, has been through a lot of economic challenges here. How do you think the city should respond or continue to respond to those challenges? And how? What would you try to do about it if you're on the council? Mark, I think you're
me?
Up first.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, that's kind of a tough question. I mean, yeah. DEVCO and the chamber, they're out doing their thing, and they're working hard. As far as being on the council, you know, I can't really go out and recruit new business, you know. If I ran into somebody, I would talk to them.
Yes.
And all, and I would do anything, and I would always talk positively about North Platte and the community, encourage people to come here. I think we need to support the people who are here now working, like just recently, Rook Stuhl.
Mm-hmm.
He applied to open up, to build a business. I mean, like I said, I know him. He's done work for me years ago, and he's gone from 3 employees to 10. Now he's going to build a building, which is going to increase, you know, the property taxes, and he's making more. We need to keep helping those people by, you know, when they want to do something, we need to make it possible for as easy as we can for them, as long as, you know, it's within rules and ordinances. You know, we can't break the law for them, but... You know, and just, I think, to have a positive attitude and just look at everything and, you know, do what we can to make this a better community. I think we should do like we did out here with the light industrial, heavy industrial. I think we should investigate and find, you know, some more areas that maybe we could do that to now. And then we could put that out there. Now, I don't know how they do it, but I know there's a way they put it out there and then... advertising fashion, you know, hey, we have this available so that business could look at it. And maybe we get 2 or 3 people competing for that piece of land, which gives us leverage instead of the business, one business having the leverage against us. So maybe we get a better deal out of it, you know. But we just need to be positive and keep working. We all need to talk and you know, get together, network, and you know, there's a lot of people in business, and if you know anybody, you know, just bring it up. You never know.
Right. Okay. Lawrence, go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know as well as I do that the whitetail financing, not financing, what is it?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
No.
At the Parkade Plaza?
Yes. What they have done. And boy, I tell you, it's one of those things, every time you see them, you ought to clasp your hands and say, thank you, oh Lord. But, no, that's not the way to be, but well, you know how it is.
Grateful.
Grateful, because those people are doing something. That's right. And Gary Pearson has been working like a slave on getting some of these things come our way. And my hat's off to him for that.
Okay.
He has really done good.
So you agree with Mark that these people need a lot of support from the council?
Yes,
your primary role as a councilman.
Yes.
Give them support.
Give them support. These people from Whitetail, I wish I could go in there and hand them some money, but I can't.
Well, we did. Quality Growth Fund.
Yeah. Okay.
You guys did.
Yes.
So
okay.
You did help.
Let me retract that. I'll give them just as much
some
as I can.
We
give them just as much as we can.
No, okay. I appreciate people that. I mean, they're putting their money out there. They could lose their money.
Yes.
I mean, I appreciate people that go into business that take their own money and put it up there and go for it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, the next question. We begin with you, Lawrence, on our next question. Where do you stand on the renewal of the Quality Growth Fund?
Oh, definitely do it. It is very, very important to have that. Because we couldn't have any of these businesses if we didn't have that money. Sometimes it's only a dollar, but it's that dollar is most important to those people. We got to have that. And I am all for that. All for it.
Okay. Mark, same question to you. How do you feel about the renewal of the Quality Growth Fund?
Okay. First, I have to explain that I'm a free market capitalist, and in my perfect world, the government would give no money to any business whatsoever.
That's wise.
Now, that's in my perfect world. We don't live in that world. We live in a world where business has free money thrown at them all the time. Now, our Quality Growth Fund is set up very well. It's not just a handout every year to that organization. You know, if they don't perform, they're not going to make any money because they're not going to hit we're not going to hit the threshold as a city
to get there,
and they won't get anything. So it is an incentive that they work hard. Of course, that's not a problem really. Gary Pearson and the people down there work very hard all the time.
Yes,
but it's just another incentive. So here's my thinking. We can go with the Quality Growth Fund, and some of that money will go to help small businesses. I like the fact that a lot of it goes to help small businesses, because I really don't think the big businesses that have tens of millions of dollars really need our free money, but that's a whole other subject. Or it goes into the city fund, general fund. I'd rather see it go into growth. At least we have sometimes city governments don't spend money as wisely as they should. Or if they feel like they have some extra, they think, oh, well, we can get these people over here. Or we can get it to those folks over there. They're nice folks. They have a good. So I would rather see it go into the growth. So, yes, I will be voting for the Quality Growth Fund.
Voting to renew it.
To renew it, yes. Oh, yes. I just wanted to let you know kind of how I arrived at that conclusion.
Lawrence, go ahead. You had a response?
Well, I don't know if I can respond to that, but I can tell you this much. As Fourth Ward, I've been here since 1965, I've never seen the Fourth Ward expand like it is doing today. Never. For example, look out there at Langmuir. He's built that big building out there. Well, he didn't build it, but
he bought it.
Yes. And then we have the one that, what's his name?
Is it Bridge Street or Burkholder?
Burkholder.
Yeah.
Now, this Bridge Street, did you see it? It's got all that. Oh, man. This thing's growing by leaps and bounds. And this is the first time since I've been here that I've ever seen this kind of action in the Fourth Ward.
Great. I mean, there is a lot of growth in that Fourth Ward, and George, you and I are looking at it from a different standpoint here in journalism. There's a lot of growth in the Fourth Ward, and there's been accusations, oh, the Fourth Ward's dying, the Fourth Ward's stagnant.
No, that's not true.
Not at all.
No, I'll tell you, I talked to Dave Burkholder, and I like this man and his wife. We were talking, and you know, he told me, when we decided to build a new building, because, you know, the building they were in really wasn't suitable.
Been there a while.
Yeah. And, he said, we thought about going to the south side. And I said, I'm glad you decided to stay here. He said, yeah, we didn't consider it too much. He said, we considered TIP. He said, you know, as a businessman, I thought I should look at it. And then he said, you know, we looked at it, and I decided no. I get the feeling they're good Christian people, and they didn't feel right taking the money that actually is all of our money. I mean, Lawrence and I both have rentals. I don't like giving my money to developers. I could use that money to buy me a house and fix it up. Mm-hmm. You know, but he decided not to. So he just took his own money, he built that building, and he's going to succeed. And Bridge Street, same thing, like Lawrence says. His boss wanted to move to the south side, and talked him into staying there. He said, no, this is where our business is, and this is where we need to stay.
Got a lot of comments on that, but I better not.
Well, I don't know, but sure. No.
That's good.
It's like I said, the guys that keep building us are the guys that just take their own money, go out, start working, and build their business. Yeah. They hire a guy or two at a time, and boom.
Okay. Perfect. We thank you both for those responses. We do need to step aside and take another quick commercial break here on KODY's 2020 Candidate Debate. This evening it's been presented to you by the DNN Event Center and your locally owned and operated North Platte Kubota. We'll continue the debate in Ward 4 after this with Lawrence Ostendorf and Mark Woods here on Husker Radio.
Do you hear?
hunters, young and old, novice or pro. The Minnow Bucket of North Platte has all the specialty hunting items you want and need this fall, including rifle and archery, arrows and ammo, scent killer, drags and decoys. Don't forget scopes and rangefinders. Ask TJ about custom reloading, scope mounting, and rifle sighting. Coming soon, two-week European mount turnaround times. Wow! Buy from a professional and find it all under one roof. Stop by the Minnow Bucket, 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte. Then go hunt!
Christmas is not that far away, and while selections are at their best, Karen at Tallman Jewelers says she'll help you lay away for Christmas. Stop in at Tallman's for pre-holiday savings on diamond earrings and pendants, engagement sets, anniversary bands, and colored stones. If you have family heirloom jewelry that you want to give as a gift with a completely new look, give Karen time to work her magic by taking it to Tallman Jewelers today. Remember, Tallman's buys used karat gold. Tallman Jewelers on the bricks at 503 North Dewey in downtown North Platte.
Hi, it's Jenny from Pop Corner, here to tell you about all the great new menu items we have for fall. The Dagwood. It's a big old man sandwich. All the meats, all the cheeses on a fresh baked Kaiser roll. All of our soups are homemade, and baked potato is everybody's favorite. For the best in casual lunch and more, make it to Pop Corner in the Westfield Shopping Center, North Platte.
Use the Chow Now app for easy delivery. Pop Corner in the Westfield Shopping Center, North Platte.
There's one member of your family that gets no break at all. Your vehicle. Its engine works hard year-round and deserves to be rewarded. Stop into Grease Monkey today for our full-service Mobil 1 synthetic oil change. Mobil 1 is selected by more than half of all NASCAR teams and for today's vehicle. Mobil 1 is proven to provide outstanding performance and protection for your engine. Ask about Mobil 1 today at Grease Monkey, 321 South Jeffers Street. Grease Monkey. Less hassle, more hustle.
Less hassle, more hustle. Grease Monkey.
When it's time to buy a new utility tractor, it's time to go big. It's time to go orange. It's time to go to North Platte Kubota. Now open at a new location, 1301 South Jeffers. Right now, all utility tractors are zero down and 0% APR for up to 60 months. Plus, 90 days, no payments. With a new Kubota utility tractor, you can lift, move, push, pull, and grade. Go big. Go orange. Go Kubota. Find yours at North Platte Kubota, your locally owned tractor dealer, now at 1301 South Jeffers.
When it's time for home improvements, it's time for the Do It Center. Great people, super service, that's the Do It Center tradition. We're here to support you with answers to make your home improvement projects a huge success. Our aisles are filled with high-performance products, backed by our huge warehouse and an unbeatable guarantee. When you need to get that home improvement job done right the first time, shop with folks you know. The Do It Center, employee-owned for over 20 years.
Thank you, North Platte, for voting Allo Communications number one in cable provider, internet provider, and customer service in the North Platte Telegraph's Reader's Choice Awards. Our employees focus on being local, hassle-free, exceptional, and honest, giving you the best in customer service. To find out more about our business and residential services, stop by 702 East Francis in North Platte or call 221-6650 or visit allocommunications.com.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Chance for scattered rain showers tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows dip down to about 42, southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 48, overcast. Lows level off around 24 tomorrow night. Dry and cooler Friday and Saturday with highs from the upper 30s to the low 40s. That's your weather forecast for KODY 1240 AM, 106.1 FM.
And welcome back on KODY North Platte with translator K291BW. We broadcast live here on the KODY studios, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM. You can also tune in online, huskerradio.com. And we want to give a big thanks to Sean. He's been running our camera here in the studio the past few days on our KODY Facebook Live. I think he's done a pretty good job, hasn't he, George?
Yeah, I'd say so. Thanks, Sean.
He's done all right. Surely
for doing that. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Thank you, Sean. We need to go ahead and wrap things up here in just a few moments, but we can go into the new hour, so I don't want either one of our candidates to feel rushed by any means, but we are on to our next question. George, you know who's turned this?
No, I don't know who's turned it.
Either.
I think we'll go with Lawrence.
We'll go to you, Lawrence.
Lawrence,
and
we'll fire this at you.
What's your turn, George?
How do you feel the city's done in addressing the housing issues, and how do you plan to help that or go along with that or raise some concerns if you're reelected?
Okay. I don't know how to start, but here it is. When they did that shot in the arm, that was one of the best things they ever did. When they did that second shot in the arm, that was even better.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I wish I could then take care of advantage of some of those, but I can't. But they did a fine job on that one. And I think that even hit the Wall Street Journal at one time.
Oh, did it?
Yeah,
I believe it did. It made some national news. Some of those things. You might want to stay a little closer to that microphone.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
We can hear you a little better.
But anyway, the shot in the arm programs were fine.
Oh,
they were
yes.
good.
Yes.
We've had some TIF grants that to go for to try to boost housing projects and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, yes, yes.
So
I'd say we've been about at 70% what we were 4 years ago.
70% more houses now than we did 4 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. So is that enough?
No.
Not yet?
Not yet.
Okay. How come?
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question, George. But we still need to keep expanding because there's too many people still living with mom and dad. I won't say I see that all the time, but I see it quite a bit in the real estate business.
Okay.
I really do. Okay. They need to be out on their own, and they aren't.
Okay. All right. Mark, what do you think about this?
Well, I seem to have a different viewpoint than most people on housing. I am encouraged about something. I will not vote for TIF for housing. This thing that they cannot afford to build houses, I think is just silly. You know, I think it's just free money's being offered, so people take it. Now, I'm encouraged because we had that Sugarberry fiasco, and that went away. Well,
yep.
Mr. Rothermeyer stepped up, got his project through. He's paying for all the infrastructure on his land. I noticed Darren Wilkinson has bought two lots out there. He's going to build.
Yep.
As far as I know, they're not getting a penny. That tells me that this is just bull. Look at Lonnie Parsons' project. Well, it's not just Lonnie. There's some other people involved, too. I'm sorry, Lonnie. Yeah. And I feel for you. But it's going nowhere. And I think part of it is because people are upset. You know, we work hard. Why did developers who have all this money, all they have to do is say, no, we can't afford it. And TIF is set up where to get it, you have to prove you can't afford it. So what happened is the land values go up. You just charge more for the land. I'll tell you that the subs that work on that, if I was a sub, my brain would go, the general, he's getting free money. He's getting the land paid for. He's getting the infrastructure paid for. Gosh, maybe I should add a little to my bid. So then the cost goes up some more. Government's involved, cost goes up. It just follows. So, I hope I'm not making a fool of myself, but I appreciate Mr. Rothermeyer and Darren Wilkinson because they seem to be doing it the right way. They won't make as much money per house, but you know, you don't always make what you want. So, that's my feeling on housing. Right now, I don't think we should be building houses. Until we get some business set up, it's supply and demand. They can't sit on those houses. Now, Darren building those $250,000 to $350,000 homes, those can always be built because there's people with money who will buy them.
No matter what.
Yes. And then that opens up lower costs. And I'm not a big fan of shot in the arm either. This is just what I heard. I didn't investigate it. Wilk Builders, Darren, was building houses right across the street from
Parsons project there. Well, his houses were about the same price as Lonnie's, but they're much bigger. And Darren builds a really nice home. I've worked in his homes doing the flooring.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, people are going to buy his homes. And he didn't get free money for them. And as a person, just me personally, if I'm looking at two guys, I'm going to buy from the guy who spent his own money, not my money, to build his houses.
Okay.
So there, that ought to do it for me.
Okay.
And I think we're in a really unique situation here, George, because both of our candidates in Ward 4, both these gentlemen joining us in the studio right now, are not only homeowners of their own properties, but they also have rental properties. You each have a handful, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir, we're seeing some real definite opinions that are educated.
Absolutely.
They come out of the real-world experience.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I got to say, the Fourth Ward, too, has always been kind of what the council representatives from that area have always said, man, you got to go at City Hall hard to get our fair share of thing of attention for the north side. And I think that, you know, it may depend on the situation, maybe a generalization, but if that's still the case, you know, I think you guys both can be pretty outspoken. So, so
well, that's what people
for whatever
like
it's worth.
This for.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Next question, and we're going to try to limit this one. Let's try to keep this to a 2-minute response at maximum here. We're going to begin with you, Mark.
All right.
Iron Eagle Golf Course. We've had to kind of rephrase this conversation as the week has progressed here, even, which is good. That's a great call now. What are your thoughts on Iron Eagle Golf Course and the city's involvement?
Well, I'm happy that with the lease purchase agreement, they're going to. I kind of hold back because I don't know what the terms are yet. I know I saw they're leasing it to them for $10 a year. You know, that doesn't bother me. The idea is to get it out of the city's hands because we're, you know, they say $300,000. There's a lot more costs there. There's, you know, upkeep. There's wages. There's a lot of stuff. So if we can get it to cheap. Now, I want to make sure that in the lease agreement that the city's not on the hook for anything, you know. If we're still paying the bills, then I'm not okay with a $10 lease fee. You know, I'm sure it's going to go where cheap will take it over. I'm worried about the insurance aspect. If there's a flood, who has to pay to redo it? You know, I'm all for it. I'm for getting the golf course out of the city's hands. If it remains a golf course, I'm okay with that. If they do decide, if Chief buys it, well, they own it then. They get to do what they want with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may build like a sports bar or something out there to go with all the homes they're going to build. There's a lot of things they could do. You know, but I'm thrilled at the way this is going.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Same question to you, Councilman Ostendorf. Where do you stand on the Iron Eagle Golf Course situation?
That is a real good question. Okay, the golf course needed to go. It was one of those things, it was money loser. And you know that as well as I do. But here's the thing now, with them in there, that $10 a month, it keeps them from selling it to anybody else. Okay? So there's 2 years. By this time, they'll probably have something going. And one of the things is the golf course will go away. Part of it will. Not all of it, I don't think. I think the southern half of it will stay.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
Next question, George.
Good answers. Let's see here. What have we got left? Let's talk a little bit about your time, demands on your time. I don't know if you're still active in your business, Mark, but how much time can you devote to the job?
Well, I am still active in my flooring business, and you know, the rentals always take time. Right now, my life is completely messed up due to COVID. I probably lost 3 months of work over on this contract. I was supposed to be done in January. Well, I didn't even start until January. Okay. But I should be wrapping that up. Lawrence, if I were to win, when do the new people take office? Is it the first of the year?
First of December.
Okay.
Well, actually, it's the first meeting in December.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be done with that, which gives me 50-60 hours a week that I normally spend there. I put my rental business on hold. I quit buying, and I will not until I have two more units to get up and running and get my feet. You know, if I'm elected, I need to learn a lot of stuff, so I'll need to devote a lot of extra time to that. But I'll have plenty of time. I mean, this will be my job if I get elected, you know. And like I said, I'll be retired from that. And in the rental business, most of it will be subbed out now. I won't be doing the work myself anymore. I'm getting older. I just don't want to do it. Okay. I want to watch people.
And more wealthier. And more wealthier. So you hire somebody.
Yeah. That was the whole plan, to get to where I didn't have to do it. And the thing is, it actually will make me even wealthier, because they do it a whole lot faster than I do, so they're up and running, and I get my rent quicker. You know, I'll admit, I'm in this to make money. But I do also like the fact, and I know Lawrence will attest to this, I get to take an old house and I fix it up and I make it a nice place for a family to live. I try to keep my rents below market value, and I'm kind of in a niche. I like to stay around $650, because a lot of these people that have the hotel jobs and restaurant jobs and stuff, you know, they can only afford so much.
Yeah.
And I don't have to make every penny I can suck out of them. You know, and besides, if I'm a little below, they'll go out, you know, they all go out and look around once in a while
because
they get mad or something.
I got one of mine that you just stole from me.
I did? No.
No, you didn't.
No, she moved into my daughter's house.
Yeah.
My daughter's I had nothing to do with that.
No,
but,
but
they look around then.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't have that. You know, that really is a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit.
All right, that was an interesting discussion. So, Lawrence, how much time do you have to spend?
I won't say I hardly do anything anymore. I do a lot less than I used to do, and computer-wise, I've got somebody to do all the computer work and stuff. I'm afraid that I'm going to make a mistake, so consequently...
Give me their name.
No, I don't think
I'll
so.
I'll pay them. I hate computers.
You pay me to give them their name.
For a nominal fee, yeah.
Well, we'll have to negotiate.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think if you guys are going to make a deal here, we should get commission on it.
Well, we are sitting between the two.
Yeah, we are kind of. We're helping them there. Okay, so you got plenty of time. Both of you think you got plenty of time.
Yeah,
I'll have plenty of time.
And you can, I can tell you this, like Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays, I usually don't do a lot other than drive around and make sure what I've been involved with is working.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the example this afternoon is I spent the whole afternoon taking this thing apart and putting it back together.
Okay.
And I didn't talk up to this thing. Sorry about
no,
that.
No, you're fine. We can still hear you. You're okay.
Okay. All right. But that's one of the things I've learned. And Tuesdays and Friday, or Tuesday and Thursday, I devote to her so that any questions she might have, I'm there.
Okay.
And it's all done from my memory.
Are you going to stay working on Habitat for Humanity?
Oh, yeah.
Good. I really like that organization.
As long as they won't, unless they tell me I got to go down the road.
Yeah, I donate to it. I used to donate to it in my dad's name because he used to go out and work for him and do bills in his 80s. You know, he was a very amazing man.
Good old Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. But
do you know how old he is?
Oh, he's in his 90s and still working.
95, and he's still doing it.
God bless him.
Yeah. It's the setup I love. The people have to work for it.
Yes.
And they have to pay for
it. That great sweat equity.
They get, they get a deal. I mean, because then they appreciate it because they've got something invested in it.
Absolutely.
And then they can move up from there.
I've been on the other end, where they sold them.
Yeah.
And they really like it when they get that money.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Then they're living the American dream. They buy a house, they sell it for a profit, they move up, they keep building their wealth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Now, let's allow a minute here or two for closing remarks before we wrap up. Lawrence, we'll begin with you. Any closing remarks you have, sir?
Please vote for me. No. if you need to know anything, just call me direct. It's 530-2692. If you don't need to know anything really pertinent, get tell him.
Dr. Mark.
Yeah, Dr. Mark.
All right.
Any closing remarks for me, Mark?
Yeah, well, I want to thank you guys for having this debate. Once I ran, you know, kind of a couple things went on my bucket list, and I thought, well, gosh, it'd be nice to have a debate with Lawrence. Yeah. And I didn't think we were going to get...
No,
you know,
me neither.
I'm nervous as can be, and it's scary to me, but I wanted to do it, you know, and it's been fun. I enjoyed it.
And I'm bitchy yet.
No, not yet, but I'm going to keep my eye on you on the way out. And I'm like, Lawrence, yeah, vote for me. But, you know, it's been interesting. I've learned a lot. I've been out talking to a lot of people. I hear a lot of good ideas. I hear some real crazy ones, too. But,
oh, God, yes.
But, you know, that's just the way it is. You sort them out. And,
there it goes.
And I really appreciate everything everybody has done for me. I can't believe that people, I'm not going to say anybody's name, but people that have just come up to help me. People I don't know. It's just been amazing to me. And I want to apologize to the voters because I'm not going to get out to see as many of you as I wanted. I wanted to talk. I wanted to talk to everybody, but I knew that was never going to happen. But with getting sick and all, I lost 3 weeks, and now it's getting cold. So I don't want you to have to stand on your porch in cold and get sick. So I apologize, but I'll do my best. And if I'm elected, I'll do my best to serve the city and the fourth ward.
Well, what I did is on my YouTube.
Oh, yep, YouTube.
Yep. I just put on there, due to COVID, I really don't think I should be up there in your front yard talking to you.
Yeah, I debated on that too. I always knock and then I stand.
It's almost
way
like you ding dong ditch a little bit. You knock and then you kind of back up a little bit.
Yeah, then I
anymore.
Take two steps back. Yeah. And if they see, I actually came up to a door the other day. The guy had COVID.
Oh no!
Yeah, I was amazed he answered the door. And I said, "Well, don't worry. I just got over it, so I'm okay.
I'm immune for a little while.
Yeah, I'm immune. So, but I go see you.
Yeah,
yeah. Go lay down because he sounded really sick.
And once again, thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you.
And once again, thank you.
Well,
very,
you're welcome.
Very much.
And I'm glad you made it.
The credit goes to Husker Radio here for putting this together. I know you had mentioned to me, Mark, about having a debate, and Lawrence had mentioned it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of up in the air because you can't do it in the normal ways this year because of the COVID restrictions. So
it's been
Husker Radio took the initiative and buckled down and got it all put together. Mm-hmm. And Tristan and Tanner deserve the credit, and I think the sales team worked hard on it too. And I just kind of came along to throw my 2 cents in. So
well, we're glad.
Good
I'm
job.
Happy because I remember Lawrence saying one time that he was supposed to debate a guy and the guy got sick and didn't show up. So you probably felt a little cheated. So glad I could show up and we could debate.
Okay.
It was
now,
fun.
Did we debate?
No, we just set our ideas, but isn't that what a debate is?
Well, we do appreciate you both very much. If folks want to get a hold of you, Lawrence, to learn more about your candidacy, how can they get in contact with you directly ahead of the November election?
530-2692, and it's strapped to my hip all the time.
Okay. And Mark, how can folks get a hold of you if they want to learn more about you and your candidacy before Election Day?
Okay, you can send me an email at mtwoods52.gmail, or I'm in the phone book, 534-5458. So, you know, if you write it down, forget it. Yeah, it's old fashioned, but it's been my business number for
I don't know,
35 years, whatever. So I just keep it. But yeah, and feel free to call about anything.
Yeah. Email too.
I got email. I love hearing from people. I'm sure you do too, Lawrence.
How do we
know if you don't talk to us?
Exactly.
That's right. I had one here a while back that she says something new, and I told her, I says, well, just a second, I'll think about this. And she says, you have to think about it? Well, yes, I have to think about it.
Well,
I got to
know.
Send you the right way. So, but it all, I had made a couple of phone calls, and then I had to say, an hour later, I called her, and I said, okay, now here's what you do. And if you don't do that, I'll be glad to help you.
Good.
And she says, thank you.
Well,
like I was the first one that ever said that.
Awesome.
That's what councilmen are there for.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Well, guys, we appreciate you both taking time for us in the studio. And, George, appreciate once again the partnership with the North Platte Bulletin.
Glad to be
here. At Husker Radio and at KODY, we love partnering with the North Platte Bulletin whenever we can. We kind of have the same goal when it comes to local elections in particular, George, presenting the facts for voters, and then the voters have the final say. And I think we've been able to
do that
the past couple of years.
I encourage everybody to get out and vote, too.
And he let me put some in the... his magazine. I mean, his
in the bulletin. Yeah, you're both in the bulletin.
You call it a magazine. Yeah. That's all right. It's a small magazine, but it's a It's kind of that format. Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're both featured in the bulletin.
But
so.
I hope everybody gets out and votes and try to make a good decision here, because that's how the decision gets made at this point.
Absolutely.
It isn't up to you and me. It isn't up to the mayor. It isn't up to any President Trump. It's up to the people here.
It's up to the people and the citizens of each
individual. Hopefully everybody get out there
and
exercise that right and privilege.
George, as always, we appreciate the partnership and appreciate the time, my friend.
Glad to be here.
That's going to wrap things up here on KODY's 2020 Candidate Debate. A big thanks. Monday we had John Hills and Brandon Kelleher joining us in the studio. We want to appreciate them once again. Last night we had Pete Vols, Jim Agler from Ward 2, and then Ward 3's Don Curry and Brad Garrick joining us. And a big thanks to Councilman Backenstos and Donna Tryon for joining us last hour. And a big thanks to Councilman Ostendorf and to Mark Woods for joining us this hour here on KODY's 2020 Candidate Debate. Not only do we thank all of our participants for making our broadcast possible, want to thank each one of you for tuning in, rather be online on Facebook or on the good old-fashioned radio here. We are going to continue the political conversation here ahead of Election Day. I invite you to tune in on election evening here on 1240 AM and 106.1 FM as we'll bring you the latest results live from Lincoln County here on KODY that evening. A big thanks not only to George for being a great co-moderator and a great friend here as we partnered once again with the North Platte Bulletin. I want to appreciate Sean for joining us in the studio and running our camera here on our KODY Facebook page. And a big thanks and hats off to all of our sponsors, including the North Platte DNN Event Center, as well as the North Platte Kubota. Big thanks once again too to Tallman Jewelers in downtown North Platte. I always appreciate Karen and appreciate Dave Harold over at the North Platte Do-It Center as well. Remember, you can go back and listen to each one of the individual debates on our website, HuskerRadio.com, and we'll have Wards 1 and 4's debate portion uploaded sometime tomorrow morning. In the meantime, that's going to do things here on KODY North Platte with translator K291BW. We thank you for tuning in. Have a great evening and God bless.